Well, hello again, and welcome to show number 175. I got my coffee. What are you doing watching or listening to this show? Whatever you're doing, I'm so glad you're tuning in because I have a very special guest as always. But first, I want to thank Betty Ryder of Betty Ryder Boutique, Preston Center in Dallas, Texas. You can't miss the shop because it's got a big red door. So go in and take a look at her fabulous European designs. And also Taylor Bags, fabulous handbags, softest leather, great stitching, easy to wear, easy to go. And that's taylorbags.com. All right. Obviously, this show is all about leaders who are making a difference. And my guest today is definitely making a difference in a very unusual way. So, do you know about what a Japanese tea service really involves? It's amazing. And in order to be a master tea ceremony person, it takes a lot of work. And this woman you're seeing is Shoko Masuda, my guest, who will be talking about how doing the tea service has everything to do with concepts of leadership. Stay tuned.
Welcome to our podcast, Doing It Right. This podcast reveals authentic stories from successful leaders doing it right. It's about their journey to become a leader, their choices, motivations, and lessons. In essence, how they built successful personal brands. Your host is Valerie Sokolowski, author of 8 leadership books and nationally known as an authority on executive presence and personal branding. Let's get started. Here's Valerie.
So let me welcome my guest today, Shoko Masuda, and she is a master of tea ceremony. Shoko, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Valerie. So glad to be here.
Well, I have so many questions about the tea ceremony and how you as an executive coach now, coming from corporate, which we're going to hear about, how you're making this tea ceremony work with your coaching leaders. So first of all, please just describe your being a master of tea ceremony. What does that look like?
So Japanese tea ceremony, we call it a ceremony, but actually it's nothing about ceremonies. It's a daily practice to start with. And I started probably 13 years ago. And there's a certain process that you have to take. But amazing thing about tea ceremony is that it's a journey. We call tea ceremony in Japanese literally the way of tea. So it is very similar idea that the way of living, meaning is that there's no goal, there's no finish saying that I learned everything I need about tea. So it's very similar to leadership because leadership is a similar way that there's no ending because it's a learning process. It's not, you know, the arrival point. So that's what I learned for this, you know, last 13 years or so.
Well, Shoko, you learned this and you're incorporating it into your executive coaching. Talk to us a little bit about coming to America. I love the story you told me previously about learning English and how you did that and wanted to come to America, and you did. And so kind of just fill in the blanks on that story, would you?
Of course. So I came from very small, tiny town in middle of Japan, very close to Mount Fuji. And nobody speak English. My parents didn't and don't. So I watched Sesame Street to learn English. And I studied English literature at the university and I got a scholarship to study 1 year as an exchange student in Omaha, Nebraska. That was eye-opening experience to me.
I can't imagine.
Yes. And that time, you know, Valerie, I was so touched with the people's, you know, friendliness, honesty, and such a positive attitude, which very hard to see in Japanese culture. So that's where I start realizing that there's a two different culture. You know, we don't judge good or bad in about culture. And you see there's a good part of this culture and there's another good part from this culture. And I've been always wondering, how could I somehow integrate the these two good part of two cultures? And this is where that I started toying the idea of that, how I could bring some goodness of Japanese component and goodness about American culture, because I work in the multinational organization. I move around, starting in Tokyo, but moved to Hong Kong, London, and back to Tokyo, and I came here in New York area. And this is a kind of funny thing, that when I was in Japan, I was always told that, oh my God, Shoko is so aggressive and outspoken. And in a way, she's a badass girl, right? And in US, I would always get the feedback in my annual, you know, assessment. My boss constantly said, Shoko, you have to speak up more. And this is such a different environment. I really tried to figure it out, how I could sort of, you know, dialing up or down properly my attitude, my communication style, based on the environment. And that was my, you know, starting point, how I could be more effective in a different culture, different context. And the different culture, it's not just different location, even within the organization in a different department have a different culture. So how could I adjust to that? These are kind of things, it's really starting to bubbling up in my head when I was in the organization. And once I got the coaching certificate, I started really delving into how I could help more women who had the similar experience that I had. And that is very much what I've been trying to figure it out. I'm still somewhere in the middle, but I start looking at this tea ceremony practice as one of the hints, one of the tools.
Well, it is a fabulous tool. And by the way, I really enjoyed, I'll hold it up and tell you what this is. You sent the free ebook to me. I downloaded it and it is available on her website. You'll see a banner for receiving her free ebook on the mindfulness of the ordinary, leadership lessons from Riku. Is that how I say it correctly? Riku?
Riku.
Riku. All right, leadership lessons from Riku's 7 rules. Who was Riku?
So Riku is the founder of this whole tea ceremony. So it has a more than 400 years history. And it was quite interesting to think about that era. That was 16th century or 17th century. Japan was middle of the civil war. Every, you know, territory fought against each other. There are the samurai lord fighting every single day. That's the time that this calm, very serene tea ceremony started. And Riku started this, you know, the process, just, you know, having one cup of, or bowl of tea, shall I say, with a matcha tea powder as an art form through the beauty of the green tea and also create the ambience in the tea room so that everybody would be equal, everybody would be quiet, and everybody creating that such a serene moment together. So that's what he started. And the current tea masters in Kyoto, it's actually 15th or 16th generation of the tea master from Rikkyu.
That's amazing. How long did it take you to perfect the art?
So this is the thing, the way of tea, there's no point you say, oh, it's done, mm-hmm. I'm perfect. It's constant practice, and you always find something new.
You know, that's one of your top takeaways you gave me. I wrote down what you said. It's okay not to be perfect. I was so relieved to hear that, Soko. And I'll tie it to our, I also do executive coaching. Mm-hmm. Your work with executives, leaders at all levels, are they trying too hard?
You know, that's a very relevant question nowadays, that people really try very hard to be their best. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the difference between to be perfect versus the best of yourself, right? And I think this is where you have to see how your mindset, right? Being perfect versus your best you can be at this point of the time.
So Soko, that leads me to a curious question that I'm asking every person who's working with leaders in my network of colleagues. What are you finding, and my audience I'm sure will want to know the answer to this, what are you finding is the number one challenge now that leaders are faced with?
I would say that this VUCA world, you know, volatile, uncertain, complex, yeah. and ambiguous, right? Mm-hmm. How to lead the team under this VUCA world, and often they're trying to find the certainty, but there's no certainty because this is uncertain world. Mm-hmm. So I think this is important, that what are you really looking for should be clarity. And the challenge is always that how you can create the clarity. First, in your mind. Second, in your environment. I think that is a very difficult challenge for them, because that would reflect your vision, that reflect upon how you guide your team and even your life in general.
That's well said. How would you, I'll just keep asking you these deep questions that go into, I know, the tea ceremony aspects. What part of the ceremony is the part that let me interrupt myself and say that you say here there are 7 rules for contemporary leadership. Let's just talk about the one rule of the 7 that you would align with what that question is, clarity. What would be a rule or a tip for all of us to gain more clarity in our communication, in our relationships? I just this morning, Soko, had a situation with a coaching client that faced this very thing. So what would you say about gaining clarity?
So one of the rules that Rikkyu said, actually, they said the first rule he said, I think it said, make good tea or brew good tea, uh-huh. you know?
Yeah.
So what does it mean, make good tea? it's such an obvious thing, but what he said here in my mind is that concentrate on your core mission of your work or your organization or your team.
Mm-hmm. Keep focused on the important mm-hmm. thing.
Right. And you clarify your mission in such a way that everybody understands. That's an incredibly important starting point as a leader.
Well, Shoko, and demonstrating it, let's just add that. You know, I often kind of giggle to myself when I go into any new organization that I'm working with, and they all have the mission up on the wall, and they talk about the vision and all of that. And I always ask, how is that demonstrated? How would I know? And here's my question to each one that I'm talking to. I'll say, okay, so I'm standing in your hallway, and I'm a camera, so I can't, all I can do is observe, see things, and hear things. That's all. So I'm a camera. I'm walking down the corridor of your building. What do you want me to see and hear? I don't say, what will I see and hear? I'll say, what do you want me to see and hear?
You know, that you nailed that exactly. It's not the word.
No.
How you manifest, how the team understand and show that in their behavior and their attitude,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm going to get specific now on some of these things. Again, this is a free audience. This is a free ebook. You've got to go to Shoko's website and download it because it's really, really deep and yet simple. Some of the simplest things are deep, I think. One of them, Shoko, is master the timing. And talk to us about in leadership what that looks like. You're saying to a leader, you know, you've got to master timing. Tell us more.
So, you know, everything has a great moment, right?
Mm.
For instance, that, you know, this is my experience as a corporate leader, that you see some very high potential stuff and you want this person to grow. And you just, you know, push that person to go next and next without asking if he or she is ready for it. And you have to really observe when is the right moment to promote or when the right moment to give the different assignment, or even when is the right moment to give the feedback. There's always a moment which really give the most effective impact upon the situation.
You know, that's very wise, and I have a story around it, Shoko, which is a young woman who was, driven? Driven. And this driving behavior was misunderstood because the boss assumed that this driving behavior also meant she was competent to move to the next level.
Ah.
And unfortunately, too fast, he gave her that opportunity. Yes, she did want it. Yes, he wanted to promote her, but no, she really was not ready. And she told me the story about how difficult it was because then she had to muscle up. She had to meet the expectations that the boss gave to her and the team. And all of a sudden she's in this position and really not ready. So how can you tell a leader, what would you say to any boss? How do you know when someone is ready?
That's a very good question. And I think this is a word that you, as a leader, I always ask them, Have you had the developmental conversation with your each staff so that you know where to go? And do you agree on those actions? And how do you monitor their progress? And how often you give the feedback, not just formal biannual or annual assessment time, mm-hmm. but in a daily life. The other thing is, should give the leader enough input to assess what it is, because at the very beginning of the year, you agree with that person and you set the clear expectation between you and your staff that when, how you see the success. In this development plan discussion, you have to have what that success will look like.
Right.
Right?
What does it look like? Explain it. So that leads me to a very different question, but important one about being a leader. One of your top takeaways, Shoko, is leaders must draw on the value of silence and the importance of a leader's workspace. Tell us briefly about what you mean.
So silence is incredibly important in tea ceremony. In tea ceremony room, mm-hmm. it's so quiet. So what silence means for in that room is definitely respect, right? Because everybody enjoy that moment so that you would show your respect being in, again, the same serene moment together. Two is that silence also give yourself the space to think, not rushing into anything, but also give the space to the other person. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another thing is that I have to say is that recently that the executive presence, I think that was written by, I forgot her name, but in Harvard Business Review, that one of the executive presence recently indicated in that inclusivity and show the respect to others. Mm-hmm. And when you do have a silence, you give the space to the others. Therefore, people really would have time to think and it's time to speak up. So that definitely show, as I said, in the tea room, the respect, but also encourage the diversity conversation, diversity opinion exchange, and therefore inclusivity.
I'm kind of smiling, maybe smirking a little bit, because
yes.
something just happened. Again, a story about that, the silence. Mm. I was actually being interviewed by a young man in a company to come in and do some leadership work. I sat there for 2 hours, and he did not breathe. He talked the entire 2 hours about what? Not about the company and the goals and the important things to maybe talk about, should I be given the honor to do so. But for 2 hours, I heard about him. And I left smirking and smiling, and I thought, now I would say to him, you need to go to a tea ceremony, Shoko.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Let me ask you a few other questions, maybe some fun ones, because I wrote down some fun ones.
Okay.
If you were to describe the essence of the tea ceremony, the essence, which emojis would you choose?
Ooh, that's hard. I tried to think about the emoji. I just looking at what would be the good one emoji. It could be, you know, the one which had the very smile. This is the one. I'm going to show if you can see it.
Okay.
Can you see it?
No, but you can describe it.
It's sort of, you know, very smiling, but I would call it Buddha smile.
Oh.
You just have a little bit, you know, but mm. very calm.
Calm. Mm. Oh, I want to come have coffee with you. Just calm, Shoko.
Right, oh, you should say tea.
Tea, I mean. I said coffee. Oh, see? That's how often I have tea. I need to change to tea. Good catch. Good catch. All right, let me ask you another one. I was thinking about the, as you say, the respectful silence, quiet of the tea ceremony. Have you ever had any mishaps or funny things happen?
In you're talking about a tea ceremony or? Mm-hmm.
Yes, if you were, people who were attending the tea ceremony with you, is there anything kind of funny that happened or humorous?
So this is the challenging situation, particularly American people.
That's why I'm asking.
Because they are so curious. Curiosity is a beautiful thing, right?
Right.
So when we do, making tea, people constantly asking questions. Oh, why you do this? Oh, what is that? Oh, what's the temperature of the water? Constantly talking. So what I decided to do, though, when we do this kind of demonstration of, activities in public space, I always ask people that, please be quiet. And there will be a Q&A session after we show how we do it. Mm-hmm. And then let's have a conversation. And amazing, though, the last summer, we did the demonstration on the stage of the Auditorium of Japan Society in Midtown in New York City. Mm. And we had more than 100 people in that auditorium, mostly American people. So at the podium, I asked them just like, be quiet. Oh my God, there's no sound. About, 15 minutes or 20 minutes, such a silence, such a serene moment. And then after that, people asking very good questions, for the person who making tea, what are you thinking when you're doing this? Mm-hmm. Why you use this, the napkins to clean up, all kind of great questions. But after that, I asked the participant, so how do you feel? How did you feel during that, the ceremony when you are so quiet? Mm-hmm. And they said it was so refreshingly serene.
Yes. Yes. I think I'm going to get my little teapot out and put it on the corner of my desk. That would be a good reminder, I think, Shoko. I want to ask you something else. What you're doing and how you're bringing, which is what I love about your story, how you're bringing your culture and something that relates to your culture and also to leadership. That's something I would challenge all of us who work with leaders. What is it in our own background, in our own journey, in our own story, that can help make points without talking about yourself? But we all come from experiences. I've got a lot of scars here to show my experience. And that's what brings wisdom to executive coaching, of course, because we've lived so long to have some deep learnings. And so the question is, when you are literally doing executive coaching, how often, percentage-wise, are you talking versus your client?
Here you go. I think this is, the ICF coaching certificate, challenge, right?
Right.
And it's very much we... As a coach, I think you have that experience as well, that we are not teaching.
Right.
An important thing is that give them a space so that they have space and time to explore themselves into their deep mind, what's happening then. And I think this is where that, this is not only we as a coach should do, I think that this is what the leaders should do to their conversation with the team. And I was reading one of the book, I think that was, what is her name? I always, the name, flipping away, but the title of the book is You're Not Listening. You're not listening. And that book, there's the one chapter, the author is a journalist. So she interviewed different kind of, people. And one of them was a focus group interviewer. We call it moderator. And she also noticed that how spacious that this moderator gave to those respondents in the focus group interview situation, right? Because you're not forcing them to say yes or no, but really wanted to get the deep insights. And the example that she used was really funny. One of the major supermarkets realized that they're the customers came to stores middle of the night. It's quite a huge percentage of people came to the supermarket middle of the night, and they wondered what's going on. Why people came to the store, supermarket at middle of the night? So we tend to ask that, why you come, what do you do, But the moderator really asking in a different way, saying that, okay, think about maybe last month or so, when you went to this supermarket after 11 p.m., tell me what happened. And give them the space to just, thinking what happened at that time. Mm. And then woman who didn't say a word until then during the focus group interview, she said, I usually have some, smoking, and then go to that supermarket at night and meet Ben and Jerry. So what I'm saying is that a focus group interview is an interesting aspect and really try to bring what people really, really thinking so that it's required the very good question, open-ended, very open-ended question to, so that there's a no judgment included, right? And there's a no, forceful, loaded question at all, plus silent, patiently waiting for the people to speak up. And that is very similar to what we do in coaching. And that should be a leader need to think about when they have a conversation with their staff.
That is a perfect way to end our session about just leadership in general. Thank you so much, Shoko, for your wisdom and the work that you're doing. I want everyone to seriously get her free ebook. This one is Chapter 6, The Mindfulness of the Ordinary, Leadership Lessons from Ricoh's 7 Rules. And it's well written and it's easy to understand, and everyone that's in a leadership position should download that email, and you can see it on the banner now. And for those of you who want to get in touch with Shoko, you can also go to her website, which is also shown. And Shoko, thank you. Thank you so much for being my friend, new friend, and for being my guest on the show. And I wish you continued wonderful blessings and success.
Thank you so much, Valerie. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm very honored.
Well, I'm honored.
It was a great conversation. Thank you for your very thoughtful question.
You're most welcome. Thank you. And before we go, Shoko, I always do a Valerie-ism, so stay on tune, in tune. I want to give you this one. My Valerie-ism for today is shut up and listen. I mean, that's really it. Sometimes when people do start just talking, my internal mind has already just tuned you out. And the negative side of my mind is saying, shut up. Just let me listen a little bit and then have something maybe to say back. All of us need to consider what percentage of the time we're with someone. Maybe it's an hour over coffee or tea. How much of that time did you talk, and how much of that time did you listen? And that's my Valerie-ism for today. Now, before we end, I just want to tell you something, the importance of hitting that red button. And I know it has flashed across the screen many times during our show because people don't realize the importance of subscribing. That's what brings Google Juice up, and that's what brings the show sponsors. So to let us know that we're doing something that matters on Doing It Right, please hit the subscribe button and share and make comments. And that's it for today. Until next time, stay happy.
Thanks for listening. To receive Valerie's voice, free monthly leadership tips, and to learn more about her leadership programs and coaching, visit her website, valerieandcompany.com. Next week, we'll be here again to inspire, engage, and equip you with teachable points of view from successful leaders who have been doing it right. Until then, lead authentically.